We're here at the Warren. It's kind of late morning, and from the music, you'd think there are 1,000 people dancing here, but there's just a few of us. I love the atmosphere here because people fly me who have got real effort to get up this early, and I'm joined by
Hayden Carpenter.
And this has got one of the most unique titles here at the Fringe. Press start to play. 3 rounds, 2 teams, 1 prize. This is game show theatre. Some of the things listed under the question, do you have what it takes? Video games, interactive theatre, game show, teams. Just don't break the controller. So if you want to do something different, I noticed this year quite a lot of people are doing silent discoing more than ever. And this is something else to do here at the end of the Fringe. So tell us a bit more about it.
So it's a game show where we use audience members. We take 4 audience members. Any ability in video games is required. We don't mind how good or bad you are. As long as you have a good time, that's the most important thing. We like to incorporate them in some of the more theatre aspects that we do. We have actual video games that we play, and we get the audience to play them along and try and win the prizes. The premise is it's our first, it's the pilot episode, so we're trying to get it out to the masses, see if they enjoy it, and it's just a lot of fun. It's a real lot of fun.
So how did the idea come into being, and then how did the show get made?
So this is essentially our dissertation for our degree. This is our final project, end of third year project. And I came with the idea to my co-presenter, I should say. I said that I wanted to create a show that incorporated video games into it, because video games and theatre seem to have a lot of similarities in the way that they do things, but they never seem to be used often, we're starting to see more shows that use video games within theatre, but it's not a norm at the moment, and that I was quite confused as to why that was. So I thought, why not bring it to a place like the Brighton Fringe, where anything goes, essentially. So we came up with the idea, and then just we wanted to create a way that the video games would make sense, and we thought a game show would be the perfect place, get the audience involved, get them to have fun playing the games, and we kind of officiate it all, so it's quite good.
And up at the Edinburgh Fringe last year, there was a whole event called Future Play, which was all about how video and digital has been used in theatre, and Riverside Studios in London had a whole load of stuff, and they were talking about things like a play happening in Minecraft, and people putting on VR headsets for a trailer before they actually saw stuff on stage. And you know, we can see Shakespeare in cinemas now with cameras actually located on stage. So what is it specifically about the drama that's in a video game that transfers well into a live theatre?
I think quite a lot of video games, if they're more dramatic or more story-driven, they're written by writers that write the stories and the narratives, and then there's more sort of fun party games that everybody knows or enjoys, like the Mario Karts or the Minecrafts. Like, there's something for video games, there's something for everyone in video games. You can have the serious story-driven games that you play by yourselves, or the party games that you play with other people, and I think such as the Edinburgh Fringe last year, like we're seeing this buzz of what technology can do nowadays, and being able to incorporate that into a bigger audience than, say, the Fringe audience, I think they work hand in hand so well, and I think it's really good to see.
And I guess apart from the fun of winners and losers and all of that, I guess isn't the core thing too that people do badly and we feel for them and then they get better, which is the story at the heart of so many plays.
Exactly, like we want to root for all of the contestants. And I think that's what's so brilliant about our show is we don't say you have to be a good video gamer to play. We play, there's one round where the two teams work together to try and achieve something. There's a round where they both have to sort of go head to head. So we're trying to show that there's something for everyone, that you can play these competitive style games. You can play the ones where you have to work together, and you want to root for them. Like we have the contestants up there. We want them to do well because then they'll feel better about it and the audience will enjoy it more.
How do you handle it when they're really crap?
Oh, well, that's a tough one. So we've had a few that have kind of struggled a little bit, but then that comes us in the host. We try and get the audience more on their side, trying to cheer them on. If the worst comes to the worst, we'll step in and try and help them out, give them a visual tutorial. One of the things we've made sure we do before each round is make it absolutely clear like what has to happen, because a few of our sort of previous trials of this show, the audience members have been a bit confused as to what's happening. So we've wanted to make exactly sure that we point it out completely. You have to do this, and it's done like this, so that they don't feel like the controls are holding them back.
And you better mention the name of your co-presenter in case they, you know, throttle you afterwards.
Yeah, it's Tom Campy.
Okay. And so just in terms of then the actual games themselves, do some types of game work better in a theatre scenario than others?
I think that's very interesting, actually. The first round, we play a game called Screen Cheat, which is a game where the screen is split into 4 quarters with each player on 1 quarter. and the only way you have to shoot the other team, the other players, to score points.
Nice.
Exactly. But the only way you can see them is to look at their screen. They're invisible on your section, so you have to like peek at everybody else's screens. It's kind of an unwritten rule throughout video gaming that if you look at the other person's screen, you're a cheater. Yeah. And this game encourages that, which is quite fun. And sometimes the audience have found it quite difficult to adjust to that because they're so used to seeing it on their section of the screen, seeing everything they need to. Yeah. Then you find the little cheaters in the audience that really like to enjoy it as they see exactly where the other person is and find them and get the job done. And then with the second round, we have a more cooperative-based thing. I think they both work in different ways. The cooperative one is more encouraging them to work together and find the situation themselves and try and handle it together. Whereas the competitive one is more sort of test it against the others to see which one's best, you know?
I'm hoping you're going to say this isn't true, but yeah, aren't all the sort of much younger people brilliant at it and people like me just crap?
Not true, actually. We've had a really diverse list of selection of players. For example, we did our first show on Tuesday and we had a father and son up there as one of the teams, which is a really nice dynamic, actually. And the dad was much better than the child, for example. And what I think is quite good about this is that there's got a family feel to it. Like we had some mid-teens turn up. We had some adults turn up who have, of course, grown up with video games. Video games are now very big because two generations have kind of embraced them. Like they've been around long enough that more than one generation, it's their thing. So
yeah, and there's a cafe on Brighton Seafront next to the pier, which is a games cafe. And up on the, you know, all the shelves are loads and loads of games that you can play that are physical games. But there are three large screens in the corner, and I am pleased to say they're not all just gathered around the video screens. It's a mix, and that does show that we've all got the love of games in us before computers even came along.
Exactly. Games are something that everybody enjoy, whether it's in front of a screen, whether it's doing something normal. For example, our final round, we like to test doing a task, whether it's easier in a video game or if it's easier in real life. So we like to play those games in real life as well. Everybody loves games because they're fun. Like, at the end of the day, most of the time, people aren't fussed about whether they win. It's just having fun. And I think games are a really good way about bringing the fun out of everyone. There's no inhibitions there. There's no worrying, oh, am I doing the right thing? Oh, well, do I look weird doing this? You just have fun and you're laughing. Laughing is perfect for games because it makes everyone else feel better.
Yeah. And when you come off stage, both of you, after different shows, do you debrief it through the night?
Almost, yeah. Because we're very much like, we have very big on-stage personas. We've looked at other game show hosts and try to heighten their physicalities in what they've done and go really big and really in the audience's faces. It takes a minute to come down after the show and sort of, we like to think how each of the contestants did. And what's so brilliant about this is because we use the audience, no two shows the same. Because we give points to the winning teams for each thing, so one team might be really good one night, another night both teams might be absolutely awful, but that's fun.
And so both of you have to be improvisers. That's a core skill here, and I guess comedians too.
Of course, yeah, definitely during the games, while they're being played, during our rehearsal process, we've been very much, we don't know what's going to happen. We have a rough idea. We've tried to gear the game so we can keep control of everything, but once they start playing the games, we don't know what's going to happen. One person might do really well, they might all do really badly, but that doesn't mean it's not fun. So it's really interesting to see the different levels of skill that everybody has playing games. But regardless of the level of skill, they all have fun.
What's your favourite game, not just in the show, but of all time?
Oh, favourite game of all time? Probably a Star Wars one somewhere. There are some good Star Wars ones out there. Minecraft's a good one as well. I think that's a very good one for engaging everyone. I think everybody got on the Minecraft craze at some point. Just the ability to be able to make what you want of it. Like, you can only go as far as your imagination will let you, which I think is brilliant.
And finally, without using the word amazing, what's your invitation for people to come and see the show?
It's a fun, exciting experience where the show will only be what you make it and what we find out. You'll get the chance to play games. Even if you're sat in the audience, there's still stuff for you to do. Like, you're not going to feel left out. It's exciting, it's fun, and it's video games. What more do you want?
Thanks very much for talking to Fringe Review.
Brilliant, thank you.